Craft. I was told tonight people call him Chappie.
That's right.
So we answered. I answered the phone and I'm like, "Hey, Chappie." Felt a little weird, but he's a longtime member of Project 21 Black Leadership Network. I think we're familiar with that, with Jimmy Hollis and some other people that we've had, with Deneen Borelli. And he's a professional prison chaplain and facilitator with Prison Fellowship Ministries. He is also ordained and endorsed as an institutional chaplain with the American Baptist Churches, USA. He has served as correctional chaplain at Moshannon Valley Correctional Center in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, Pine Prairie Correctional Center in Pine Prairie, Louisiana, and the Jefferson City Correctional Center in Jefferson City, Missouri. You've been around.
Yes.
Reverend Craft holds a Master of Divinity degree from Harvard University School of Divinity in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and a Bachelor of Arts in Bible and Pastoral Counseling from Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. Or Missouri, if you're from Missouri. He completed clinical pastoral education at Boone Hospital Center in Columbia, Missouri. He is the author of Morality and Freedom, America's Dynamic Duo. His books and CDs are at the table back there, so you can see him after he's done speaking. And co-authored Virtue and Vice, A Fascinating Journey into Spiritual Transformation with Roxanne Flower. He also contributed to Jumpstart Your Success and How to Raise an American Patriot. Reverend Craft is also certified as a facilitator for the Bullies to Buddies program, as well as a certified gang prevention educator. He is also a member of the Black Robe Regiment. Reverend Craft is married to Miss Edith May Craft, who I missed tonight, Pastor.
Yeah, she's doing a grandbaby thing.
Grandbaby thing. She's a school teacher, and they have four children and four grandchildren, correct?
Yes.
Help me welcome Reverend Stephen Craft.
Hey there. How's everybody? You sound like it, I believe you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come now in the mighty, majestic name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the only true and living God. Father, this is the day you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We need your help, Father. We need your help. Our nation is falling. Your word declares that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Your word also declares righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Father, your word also declares, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will reject thee, saith the Lord. Your word also declares, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchmen watch in vain. But Father, the good news is your word says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I, the Lord, will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. So, Father, we believe that the only help, the only true and lasting help for our nation is a spiritual revival, a spiritual renewal, to put God through his Son, Christ Jesus, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, putting him back on the throne and making all men and all women subject unto him. So we thank you. We ask you to help us now tonight, Lord. Open our spiritual eyes that we may see things that we might not have seen before. Open our spiritual ears that we'll hear things that we may not have heard before. And above all, Lord Jesus, open our hearts. So even though we may not be familiar with some of these things, we will have soft hearts of flesh and not hard, cold, stony hearts. And that we'll say, Lord, if you need somebody in this battle for the souls of America and the souls of men, here am I, send me. This is our prayer. We come against Satan in the name of Jesus. For we recognize and understand that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual rulers, and wickedness in the high places. So we put on the full armor of God that we can stand against the tricks and schemes of the evil one. So help us now, we pray, Lord. Help us understand and recognize that this, first and foremost, is a spiritual battle that we fight, an invisible battle against the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But help us, Father, to gain the victory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay. We're going to talk about some things tonight that we probably have not heard before. In fact, I'm sure we haven't, because I'll be the first one to confess, brothers and sisters, I didn't know many of these things. Brenda, my brother, my videographer, Joe LaPowie, and my wife, Edith, She sends her regards. She couldn't make it tonight because of the fact that we have grandbabies. And Grandma, they scared them grandbabies for our son and our daughter and our daughter-in-law. So she couldn't, she doesn't get off from them until about 6 or 7 o'clock, so there is no way. But she sends her regards in any event. First thing I want to do is I want to thank God for the brothers and sisters that are running for office. Again, never forget that God's word says in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. We're mourning right now in America. And the reason being is because you cannot get just and righteous law from unjust and unrighteous people. It's not in them. The ungodly will always come up with ungodly legislation. I don't care if it's in the House, the Senate, the White House, or Supreme Court. And for those of you that may not understand, the Supreme Court is not supreme. Hello, somebody. those old boys and those women that's sitting on, I call it the High Court, are going to answer to the real Supreme Court by and by. And there's one Supreme Court. Well, when you use the word supreme, it signifies something. When you use the word supreme, it means there is nothing higher. And there only can be one supreme. So if the Supreme Court in Washington is really supreme, then that means they have the right to do whatever they want to do. But how many of you know that's a lie from hell? Because last time I checked, they put on their pants one leg at a time, just like the rest of us. Eh? So this nonsense about the Supreme Court this and Congress that and the Senate this and this. No. No. What we have to do is go back to the supreme lawgiver. The one who is perfect. From time immortal. That's where we have to start. And once we understand that and recognize that there's only one supreme being, and he's the supreme lawgiver, and what he says is good, and what he says is evil, end of discussion. Amen. There's no debate. And we're in this mess we're in America today because of a spirit of pluralism and a spirit that the Bible talks about every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's not new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. So we're going to go through some slides. And then I'm going to read a few things to you to kind of get you excited. But some of you, this is going to make some of you mad. So I'm laying that disclaimer out here right now. No, I'm serious. Because when I first heard it, I'm a strict conservative constitutionalist. And when God began to bring this stuff to me through others, guess what, brothers and sisters? My jaws got tight. For those of you that don't know what that means I got mad. But then I had to check myself and say, Lord, is this true? And once I began to examine it, I found out that it was. Then that's when I shared it with Sister Brenda and Brother Joe. So now I'm going to share it with you all. You can take it or leave it. But I'm going to sit it out there. All right? We the people, Article 1, the United States Constitution, friend or foe? First thing I want you to notice on this cover slide is the words in our preamble, we the people of the United States. I don't know if Brenda mentioned it, some of you or not, but a couple weeks ago, Brenda, myself, and Sister Joanne, is she here?
No.
Is she not here? We're sitting in a restaurant off of 130. Brenda's asking me, Reverend, what are you going to share when you come down? And I'm sitting there, we're talking, three of us in this restaurant, in a booth, and I'm pouring my heart out to Brenda, and Brenda and Joanne, they're saying, wow, whoo, oh, man. And we're talking, and we're not even paying any mind to this guy in the next booth eavesdropping. Oh.
If Brenda tells the story, you're going to say, Lord Jesus. All of a sudden, unbeknownst to us, the guy had gotten up. We wasn't paying him a bit of mind. He goes, gets the manager. And he tells the manager, tell that guy to stop preaching in here. I don't want to hear all that religious blankety blank blank blue blue blee blank blue blee blank blank blank.
Praise Lord.
The manager comes over to us, interrupts our conversation and says, sir, you're disturbing this customer. This is a public place. You got to keep preaching in church. I say, what? I said, that's not what my Bible says. I says, my Bible tells me go into all the world and preach the gospel. I said, not only that, sir, I says, I know this is a public place. I'm in here, I paid for meals just like he did. What I say that for? That rascal jumped up out the seat, spun, and went flat off.
If he had a gun,
right.
I'm telling you, we would be dead.
Right.
Yeah, I am not kidding.
Right.
I'm kidding.
That man was spitting fire. He stood up, he says, I don't want to hear none of this blankety blank blank talking about religion and politics. I'm a veteran, I fought it. I said, sir, I said, you see this ring on my hand? This is an army ring. I'm a veteran too. Tell me something else. He says, I don't want to hear. And he got, he was talking so loud, the whole restaurant was looking. He literally disturbed the peace in there, but yet the owner of the restaurant told us to get out. Am I right, Brenda?
Absolutely. Yep.
Told us to get out. Said, you're disturbing the customer. I said, well, am I not a customer? Didn't I pay for a meal? You're going to tell me that I got to shut up and talk in church? Because he don't like it. Why didn't he get up and move?
That's right.
Then when he heard that, he got even more aggravated. He slammed his napkin down and walked out the door without paying. Right or wrong, Brenda?
Yep. I'm not kidding. It was like if... I didn't even look at the man. He was behind me here, and I was listening to this. But when I left, I wouldn't let him leave by himself because I thought he was out there waiting. But this was the kind of a situation where I am telling you, if the man had a gun, we would be dead.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I am convinced of it.
Yeah, I believe that. I really believe that.
And he wasn't preaching.
No. We were having a conversation about
the Constitution.
Right. But the man manifested demonic presence. That was demonic. I walked out of the restaurant. Brenda and Joanne says, we're out of here. They hadn't even finished their salad. They paid their check and we all walked out the door. We got outside, the man was gone. But then we talked about it. We said, you see? This is the America in which we live today. An ungodly, godless, secular, humanist America that claims, that gives the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lip service and puts on their money and God we trust. But in their heart of hearts, they don't know God. Amen. And this guy wasn't no young guy. This guy, look at him, he was in his 50s. But he was hot to trot. And I agree with Brenda. If he'd have had a weapon, we'd have been out of there. We'd have been just like those brothers and sisters in Oregon, in Northwest. But I thank God because those brothers and sisters that died left a powerful witness to the truth. Because when that murderer, I don't call him a gunman, he's a murderer, when he said, every one of you that are Christians, raise your hands and stand up. And those that really love the Lord, they stood up and he said, good, because you're going to see your God in a minute. Pam, 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 pam. And every one of them right now, brothers and sisters, is in glory.
Amen.
Their fight is over. Martyrdom is here, y'all. And those of us that are not prepared to look the devil straight in the eye and say, come hell or high water, Those of us that are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that wants to keep the gospel and keep Jesus Christ in some church building, when the devil rises up like that, they are not going to be able to stand. This is shaking time, y'all. The Bible says everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Why, Lord? So only that which is unshakable will be able to stand. That's why Jesus said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. So I just want to encourage y'all. You got to settle this thing in your heart. If you're afraid of dying, that means you're not saved. But if you're not afraid of dying because you know to be absent from your body is to be present with the Lord, then you can look the devil right in the eye and say, shoot your best shot, bring it on, I'm going to glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. We the people of the United States. Article 1. Next slide. Question. Why is it impossible? Now these are questions. I want you to think about these answers. Why is it impossible to please Yahweh with a government that's founded upon the United States Constitution, as stated in Article 6, Paragraph 3. The United States Constitution, Article 6, Paragraph 3, I put it on the slide so that I don't have to read it right out of the butcher column. Those of you that have your little pocket constitutions, you already know that. I have mine here, but rather than turn to it, it's right up there. Says, in Paragraph 3, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States, United States Constitution, Article 6, Section 3. The answer, because the Constitution does not require its leaders to fear the God of the Bible. Therefore, it cannot be a government that pleases him. Hello. Yep. That's enough to make somebody mad in here right now. Because we think that's gospel. Oh, tell me they just test. Well, guess what? The 17th century first Americans, the colonial Americans, the Pilgrims and the Puritans didn't believe that. They believed that if you were not a person that feared God and hated covetousness and were born again, you were not qualified to be in office. They gave you a religious test. That's why, where did they get that idea? From Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Well, how do you know if someone is righteous? If they're obeying the Lord Jesus and obeying his word out the Bible. The Bible tells us who the true legislators are. It tells us that in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. The founders found that when they set up the checks and balance system of the different branches of government. The Lord is our judge. Not them nine rascals with their black robes on. Amen. Talking crazy. The Lord is our lawgiver. Lawgivers are legislators. God's word says the word, the law of the Lord, Psalms 19, is perfect. Man's law is not perfect. It can't be, because we're not perfect. But if we talk about we the people, who exactly are we the people? Exactly what it says. We the people. That means anybody who is an American citizen. So the Buddhist, the Hindu, the born-again Christian, the atheist, the agnostic, the Muslim, the homosexual, the baby murderers at Planned Parenthood, if they hold citizenship, they're part of we the people. Do you see a problem here, y'all? How are we going to tell the so-called left wing or the right wing or the chicken wing that they don't have the right to legislate? How are we going to tell the Supreme Court that they don't have the right to make judicial decisions? They're part of we the people. How are we going to tell Congress, the House and the Senate, or the state legislatures that they don't have the right to fund Planned Parenthood or whoever, or they don't have the right to take marriage and turn it into some bogus nonsense. The whole idea is pure nonsense. Oh, man married another man. That's total nonsense. I'll be 72 come Saturday. And somebody had told me 30 years ago about some nonsense talking about gay marriage. Ain't nothing gay about it. It's pure foolishness. And perverted. God already told us in the Bible what he thinks about sodomy. Why you think in those Middle East countries, Iran, why you think you don't see any so-called gay pride parades? Huh? Huh? Hey, better not come out the closet. The Bible says if you're a murderer or you're a sodomite, you're to be stoned in broad daylight out of the mouth of two or three witnesses in broad daylight with the community watching to put the fear of God in their heart. Oh, Reverend Crabb, that's barbaric. Is it more barbaric than this mess we have now? The Bible says God's ways are right, but we think we know more than God. We the people have become the new God.
Preacher. Amen.
Exodus 18. We'll turn over there in a minute. I just want to read that to you what it says. Exodus 18, verse 21 says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, men that hate covetousness, and place over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. But we're too intelligent to go back to Exodus. We think we know more than what God told Moses. God said the religious test is supposed to be men that first fear God. Uh-huh. These rascals sitting in high places now, you gonna tell me they fear God? If you tell me that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to say you tonight. Men of truth. That's a no-brainer. Everything, as soon as they open their mouth, they're lying. Men that hate covetousness. Why you think they go out of their way to get a position in Trenton or in Congress that pays, what, $150,000 a year? They're all millionaires and all lawyers for the most part. When all of them are already millionaires, they don't care about the money. They got the money. They want the power. Why do you think Trump is doing all that stuff he's doing? Trump don't need the money, but Trump wants for his bucket thing. I'm the president of the United States. He had these preachers come and pray over him. His mouth was all turned up. He was so glad to get them preachers out of his office, he didn't know what to do. If a real preacher had been in there, they'd have pointed at him and said, Trump, the Lord says, pride goeth before destruction. Trump, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Don't let us get deceived and think, oh, Trump's the man. Really? As long as he's proud and arrogant, anytime he's going to tell you, oh, I don't need to repent, I ain't did nothing. What? You don't need to repent? Are you serious? The only difference between Trump and Obama is Obama's half white and arrogant and a narcissist, and Trump's all white and the same thing. Ain't a bit of difference. I'm an independent. I don't believe in the Republicans or the Democrats. Why? Because as far as I'm concerned, what I have seen in 72 years is one party with two heads. And until somebody shows me different, I'm going to stick with that. I'm a values voter. Don't tell me what you gonna do. I'm from Missouri. No, I'm not. I'm from New Jersey. But I want to see. Show me, baby. Come tell me if I elect me and I'll do this, that, and the other. Really? Well, I'll tell you what. Do it and then let me check you out. And if you're right, then maybe next time around I'll give you a play. Talk doesn't mean anything. It's action. If we just took that one verse that I just read in Exodus and had religious tests, tested everybody who wanted to run for office, We're going to eliminate all this mess. But again, Americans are too sophisticated. We'd rather have a pluralistic mixed bag of an atheist, an agnostic, a secular humanist, or we'll throw a real Christian in there for good measure. A Buddhist, a Hindu, and of course you got to have Mohammed's voice. That's a mess! And we wonder why we're in this mess. You saw what happened to Carson last week. The man gonna try to trip him up with a gotcha question. He gonna tell the man the truth. Mr. Carson, you mean to tell me you'd have a problem with a Muslim in the White House? The man, common sense says, of course I'm gonna have a problem. They gonna run, they gonna... Then, on top of that, I just heard the brother from Frank's Labiano talking about he's over the House, working in the committee for House and Senate Armed Forces Committee. Put in Frank's ear, I don't live down here, I'm in Middlesex County. But put in his ear that he needs to man tell Obama and tell the Pentagon to let Sergeant Charles Martlin go. You heard about Martlin?
Yes.
Tell Frank that.
Tell him. Put it
out front. That man, every time I think about it, man, my jaw's getting tight. That man seeing what them people were doing, man, raping them little boys. And he's going to, man, intervene. Man. God says it's better for a millstone to be tied around your neck and you sold into the deepest sea than to offend one of these little ones of mine. They raping them little boys. And then that giant Pentagon goes talk about, you're inflicting, you're messing with their customs. And they're, what?
Yeah, right.
Leave him alone. And then go throw him out the army. Soon as you see Frank, you tell him, since he's in that committee. You tell Frank to tell them people, let that man alone. Makes my blood boil. Flat tax, fair tax, all that, that's all well and good. But this here, this is a battle worth fighting. He gonna pull that pedophile off that little boy and he gonna get thrown out the army? The devil is a liar.
Amen.
Next slide. Question. Why is every government a theocracy in practice? First of all, look the sidebar on the left. Definition of the word theocracy is a Greek word. Theo means, comes from the word God, Kratos rule. A theocracy is a government where the civil laws, that's the secular laws, are based in whole or in part on religious laws. Civil leaders in theocracies are probably also important religious leaders. Now, we see that in the Middle East. We don't see that so much here because most of the people here are secular humanists. But how many of you know secular humanism is a religion?
It is.
Huh? It's a religion that says man is God. Everything is a religion. It's not a question of theocracy versus no theocracy. The question is, whose theocracy? God's or man's? Does God rule and make the laws, or do man rule and make the laws? Huh? Everything is a theocracy. The answer, a government's laws reflect its morality. The source of that morality or immorality will be its little G-O-D. Huh? Theocracy or no theocracy is never the question. But rather, whose theocracy? Because the American people, by way of their elected officials, are the source of the Constitutional Republic's laws, we, the people, must be the national little G-O-D. In other words, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true God, has been kicked to the curb or just given lip service on our money or laying our hands on the Bible when we don't no more believe it in the man in the moon. and say, we the people are the new God. Well, like I said in the previous slide, we the people means exactly that. Everybody who is an American. So nobody gets the whole preeminence over anybody else. The founders didn't know that, obviously. We can't blame them. But that's where we stand today, y'all. That's why with every election, things keep getting worse and worse. Because we've gone into religious and political pluralism and moral relativism. Eh? We have no objective morality anymore. But people used to say to me, you can't legislate morality. How many of you have heard that? That's a lie. All morality is legislated. It's just whose morality? The righteous or the wicked? It's nonsense that you can't legislate morality. We have laws against murder. That's legislating morality. We have laws against lying, perjury. That's legislating morality. We have laws against theft. These are all religions that came out of the Ten Commandments. What are we talking about? Morality. Next. Question. Why isn't official recognition of the Bible and Christianity enough? I get so sick and tired during these inaugurals, they put their hand on the Bible. They probably got their other hand behind their back with their fingers crossed. So help me God. And they're lying as soon as they open their mouth. This is only lip service. Recognition of Christ by itself is not the same, ladies and gentlemen, as living for Christ, legislating for Christ, and adjudicating for Christ according to Yahweh's law. Contrast the First Amendment with 1 John 2, 3 and 4. Let me go over there and see what 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says. Starting in verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him. What's the qualification, Lord? If we keep his commandments.
Amen.
Huh? We don't keep his commandments? We don't know him. Verse 4 says, he that says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby is how we know that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as Jesus walked. God is saying lip service doesn't move God. Oh, I love the Lord. Jesus says, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, but I'll say unto them, I don't know you. Going to church is no more make me a born-again Christian than me going in the garage makes me an automobile. Folks think, well, I'm a Christian. Really? Explain to me what you mean by that. Have you been washed in the blood? Are you born again? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Tell me what you know about Jesus Christ. Then I know if you're born again or not. Most people in America are religious. They have what the Apostle Paul said, a form of godliness, while denying the very power thereof. That's why we have all these churches, all these seminaries, all these divinity schools, all these Bible colleges, all these Christian radio stations, all these Christian bookstores, all these Christian television, and the world is going to hell in a double handbasket. Something wrong with the picture, y'all.
Yeah.
Obama had it half right and half wrong when he says we are no longer a Christian nation. That part I agreed with. We're post-Christian. Because our enemies, the Muslims, when they look at America, they say, you Christians? Well, guess what? We're cutting your head off because you crazy. You're fornicating. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're Christians. Well, guess what? Your head's coming off. 2 years ago, I went to Israel. And in the tour in Israel, our last stop was down in southern Israel at the Dead Sea. and I'm sitting there on the beach of the Dead Sea, and there were Islamic women fully with the burqa on, and European and American women with bikinis on. Now, this was weird, because I'm sitting there watching this at the Dead Sea. The women that were Islamic, that had that thing on, that burqa from head to toe, all you could see was their eyes, the only thing they did was took off their flip-flops and put their flip-flops in the Dead Sea because of all the minerals. But other than that, you didn't see squat diddly. So there ain't no lusting over there. But yet they raping them women. But I don't know what they're raping because they can't see nothing. But then them other women, on the American women and the European women, they were showing everything. And I mean everything. So here was the dynamics. The Islamic women were mocking the American women, saying they have no respect for their bodies. They are oppressed by a degenerate Western culture. They let it all hang out. They have no modesty. And the American and European women that were showing everything, they were mocking the Islamic women, saying, oh, look at them poor things covered from head to toe. They're oppressed. Who was right? They both were. From their own perspective. That's what we get when we talk about we the people. We have to have an objective standard, y'all, that is unmovable and unchangeable. You can't have all this flip-flop-flop-flipness. And the only thing that's unchangeable is the Word of God. The Bible says God changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a long time, baby. How long is forever, y'all? Thank you. Next. We the people. Question. Why is it audacious to assert we the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, etc., etc.? You know the preamble. Ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, leave a for the prosperity, blah, 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 blah. Answer, only Yahweh is just. And only He can establish justice. How can unjust, sinful man promote justice? Somebody explain this to Reverend Kraft. It is the duty of the people to follow after justice as already established by their sovereign creator. Contrast the preamble with the Bible. The Bible says there's only one perfect being. That's the supreme being. That's God. And only He can establish justice. He's the only one that can ensure domestic tranquility. Why do you think we got wars and rumors of wars? Why do you think we have all these problems in America? Because we have wicked people in high places. From the Supreme Court, to Congress, to the White House, to the state houses, everybody, for the most part, is wicked. And they are ruling over those of us who are godly. And how did that happen? Well, we got rid of religious tests to be proven. Why all of a sudden we get rid of religious tests? We don't get rid of other kind of tests. They're telling you this Common Core nonsense. You got to be tested. That's a bunch of mess. But nobody has any problems with tests. But all of a sudden, they got a problem with religious tests. Yet God says, test them before you put them in office. And if they get in there and mess up, get rid of them. Amen. That's God's way. Yep. We talk about we have a constitutional republic, but yet we run this bad boy like it's a democracy. Next question. What was adopted as the Constitution of New Haven, Connecticut, June 1639? This is the 17th century under the Puritans and Pilgrims in New Haven. This is the short version. Answer. We all agree that the scriptures hold forth a perfect rule for the direction of government. Quote, close quote. The fundamental agreement of the colony of New Haven, Connecticut. A return to this legacy will provide hope for future generations. Compare the United States Constitution, friend or foe, with the scriptures. They had it right. So why was it changed in the 18th century? Because they decided they were going to be more influenced by Enlightenment thinking and European thinking and liberal thinking and reason. They put reason over revelation. Yet God says our reasoning is faulty because of sin. God says the heart of man is wicked and utterly deceitful. Who can know it but God? How are we going to get righteousness out of unrighteousness? It's not going to happen, y'all. Next. Question. From what source is a supreme law derived? The answers of any culture can be traced to its God. Little g. The laws of ancient Israel can be traced to Yahweh, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 and 3. That's your first two commandments. I am the Lord. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not take for thyself any graven image. God does not share his glory with any human being. He's the creator. He created us, not vice versa. So those of us in the Christian camp, we cherry pick the quotes of the founders that makes it appear that all the founders were born again, blood washed Christians. Then the other side, the Marxists and the atheists and the secular humanists, they find the quotes just the opposite to disprove that, to show that they wasn't Christians. That they were deists at best, secular humanists, or just theistic rationalists. That's why we got to study for ourselves, y'all. Look what he says here. The authority of supreme law, this is common sense, can only come from a supreme being. Do you all agree with that?
Yeah.
Therefore, the authority of the United States Constitution is derived from we the people instead of we the people of the Almighty God. You see the difference? The Constitution is flawed, y'all. Therefore, we the people becomes a supreme deity of the United States of America. This is idolatry, the violation of the first and second commandment that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. This is idolatry similar to the divine claim of the Caesars and the divine right of kings. We all get bent out of shape when somebody tells us, well, what's this mess about the divine right of kings? They don't have any divine right. They're human beings. We're quick to recognize that. But then in the next breath, we say, but we the people of the United States, we got the divine right to say, God, we don't need you anymore. We'll keep you on our money to make it look like we're religious. But we don't need you. We got this thing. Supremacy. The definition states that the Constitution is the supreme or the highest law of the land. That's not true. But that's what we're under. And therefore, does it amaze any of us when they just ignore the Constitution or twist it? Huh? Why should we be amazed? They tell you the Constitution is whatever we say it is. It lives and it breathes. Doesn't have asthma. Then you got our side talking about, well, we got to go back to the original intent of the founders. And then the other side comes back and says, well, how are you going to know what the original intent was? Are you going to dig them up from the grave and resurrect them and find out? I did some studies. I shared some of it with Brendan Joanne. For every quote that I found from Washington, Adams, Madison, and Jefferson, I just did four, that was sound Christianese, I could find four more that were total secular and Marxist and ungodly. You don't believe that? Go online and find out yourself. You ain't gonna take my word for it. Next. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all the treaties made, or which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. And this is where they messed up, right? The next paragraph. The senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States, the federal, and of the several states, shall be bound by oath. Put their hand on the Bible. No more believe that in the man and the moon. Or affirmation to support this Constitution, but no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. So how are we going to cop an attitude when Muslims overrun our shore, become citizens, and then want to turn us into Sharia law? We don't have an argument. They're part of we the people. How are atheists and agnostics? People for the American way. People for the separation of church and state. The sodomites, homosexuals. Black Panthers, Louis Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, whoever, Obama, whoever. They're all part of we the people. Question, why is Article 6, Paragraph 3, anti-Christian in its declaration? We keep hearing the Constitution was a Christian document. I beg to differ. It was basically a theistic, rational reasoning document. It took theology by using terms that sounded religious, like providence. But not one time did it say the Lord Jesus Christ. They did a mixture, a match, and a mixture. God doesn't play that match and mixture mess. God says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no other. Answer. Article 6, paragraph 3, has severely compromised America's 17th century Christian tradition. That's how we got in this mess. Once moral and religious tests were eliminated as a qualification for public office, government officials, watch this now, y'all. Government officials were under no constraint to adjudicate morally. Sound familiar, y'all? So why are we wringing our hands acting like we don't know what to make of it? Their depravity has since known no limits. Okay, this is a bombshell coming up now. Next sentence. A nation, America, follows where its government leads. Hello, somebody.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. I'll say that again. A nation follows where its government leads. And the people, we the people, put them in office. A nation follows where its government leads. America has become less Christian and more anti-Christian and ungodly with every election, regardless of who's elected. Can anybody prove me wrong on that? Thank you. I'm going to turn over to Matthew. See what Jesus says about this mess. We're in a mess, y'all, but there's hope. And I'll tell you what the hope is at the end, in a few minutes, because I'm almost done. Matthew 15, 6 through 9. I'm going to start in verse 1, so I'll have the context. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat bread. But Jesus answered and said unto them, and why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. Now just spin this in your mind and get past this narrative and get into American traditions, like we the people. Mm-hmm. Jesus is still speaking in verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he that curses father or mother, let him die to death. That's the fifth commandment in the Decalogue, in the Ten Commandments. But you say, whosoever says to his father or his mother, it is a gift. By whatsoever thou might have been profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. In other words, God said through Jesus that their tradition says, oh, I was going to give you, mom, some money, but instead of giving you the money, I got to put it in the church. You need a place to stay. You're getting ready to get foreclosed on. But I can't do that because I got to give it to the Lord. So you go to shelter. Thus, Jesus says, you have made the commandment of God of none effect. How, Jesus? By your tradition. Verse 7. Look what Jesus says now. For those of you who think that Jesus is so nice in his talk, Jesus said, you hypocrites. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws near unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Ouch! I double dare anybody to tell me that's not what we have in our country. Mm-hmm. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Mm-hmm. Right. We the people. Tradition. 17th century America, the Puritans had it right. We kicked them to the curb once they passed on the glory and come up with this other nonsense. We the people. Now we are painting ourselves into a corner. A nation follows where its government leads. America has become less Christian and more anti-Christian and ungodly with every election, regardless of who's elected. Next. Question. What effect does the First Amendment's Establishment Clause have on America's religious future? Now look at all these, those you've seen these bumper stickers. Coexist. God doesn't believe in that nonsense. Answer. Because Congress failed to recognize monotheistic Christianity as the nation's representative religion, because we was afraid of the T word. Theocracy. When everything's a theocracy. Because Congress failed to recognize monotheistic Christianity as the nation's representative religion, it guaranteed religious pluralism and polytheism would fill the void. Since the ratification of the First Amendment, America has become a polytheistic nation. We are full of devils and demons. Hinduism alone has over 300 million gods. We got Islam. We got Buddhism. We got secular humanism. We got atheism. We got agnosticism. And we have the gospel. And we all should just coexist and sing Kumbaya. Yet God says, I am the Lord, and I am a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before me. Yes. Now, if that was the law of the land, guess what? We wouldn't have to worry about the Muslims coming over here with that mess. We're a polytheistic nation because of religious pluralism, because of the idea of religious liberty. Oh, that sounds so cute and so warm and fuzzy. Religious liberty. Well, guess what? Those same people in Oklahoma who told Judge Roy Moore, you can't have the Ten Commandments on government property, yet Satan worshippers came back and said, oh no, we got First Amendment rights, religious liberty. We're going to put a symbol of the devil up here. Satanism's a religion, y'all. Religious freedom and religious liberty, as cutesy as it sounds, became another trap from the First Amendment. Free exercise thereof. Same thing. How you going to tell the Muslims they can't build a mosque anywhere they want to build? Right. They're part of we the people under the free exercise clause. Freedom of speech. Oh, we can say anything we want to say. Them people told Brenda and myself in that restaurant, you can't talk about Jesus in here. Get out of here. Take it to church. Bring it to the Moose Lodge. But don't bring it in here. You made that man mad. You offended him. I said, well, he offended me. I said, if he was in here using the F word, that'd be all right. Throwing F bombs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I talk about Jesus, and he cops an attitude. Freedom of speech. Does God get to go along with freedom of speech? Not so. God says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. God says, your tongue is like a fire. It brings forth bitter and sweet water. God tells us to restrain our speech. He says in the judgment, we're going to give an account for every idle word we speak. But free speech says, I can say whatever I want to say whenever I want to say it. Shut up praying. We don't want to hear no prayers, but you can throw F-bombs night and day. Freedom of speech. Freedom of the press. That's a big joke. Or the media. Why can't the media stop indoctrinating? Why won't they tell us the truth? You know what they say? You fools, it's not our job to tell you to report the truth. Our job is to change your thinking, to indoctrinate you to what we want you to believe. We have the freedom of the press, according to the First Amendment, Turkey.
Yeah.
So what are we getting mad at the press for? The CNN, Communist News Network, that ABC, NBC, Fox News, this, that, and the other. They laugh. They lie through their teeth and they tell you, I have First Amendment rights. Turkey, can't you read the First Amendment? Freedom of the press. I can tell you, I'm free to tell you whatever I want to tell you, whenever I want to tell you. And if you don't have enough sense to figure out if it's a lie or the truth, shame on you. Press is not about reporting truth in the news. Press is talking about flipping your mind to make you believe a lie. And they got the First Amendment to do it. Freedom of assembly. Uh-huh. Keep it in church. You can assemble in the church house. But don't bring it in society. We don't want to hear it outside. And then here you come, Occupy Wall Street. Or Louis Farrakhan Saturday, going to do that big thing in Washington. And the Black Panthers. Or the Ku Klux Klan marching. Or Occupy Wall Street. Or any of these Black Lives Matter. They all claim freedom of assembly. How are you going to tell them they don't have the right? Does anybody see a problem here? Or am I just talking to the wind? Freedom to petition the government for redress of grievances. Uh-huh. So you got the rich playing against the poor, and you got the poor addressing the government against the rich. They all use the freedom of to petition the government for their grievances. Why? Because they're part of we the people under the First Amendment. Next, we're almost done. Question, why can't Christianity coexist with pagan religions? Answer, because Christ is the personification of truth and the only means to the Heavenly Father. All other religions are incompatible and at enmity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. They never define what religion they're talking about. And secular humanism is religion, along with every other religion. Yet Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus says, I am the truth. Jesus says, I am the life. And no one, not a zilch, comes to the Father unless he comes through me. End of discussion. We're not going to debate about it or talk about it. Either Jesus lied or Jesus told the truth. If Jesus told the truth, then I don't want to hear nothing contrary, because anything contrary is a lie. But religious pluralism and religious liberty and polytheism says no. Jesus might be your way. See, that's that postmodern mindset. Jesus is true for you, but he might not be true for this old Buddhist boy, or that Hindu, or that Muslim, or that atheist. But here's the problem. It makes no difference what culture you're born in or what you believe. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, because every human being on planet Earth came from the first parents, Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve blew it, every human being on planet Earth came out of Adam and Eve. Therefore, all have sinned. Therefore, all died. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Do you know anybody that doesn't die? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not Buddha, not Mohammed, not Hare Krishna, not the Swami, not the Pope. Jesus!
Amen.
Amen. Eh? But that's politically incorrect, Reverend. Right, but it's correct.
Right.
It's true. Jesus said, you don't come but through me, you ain't coming. Yeah. Only millions of folks chasing behind the Pope. The Pope talking about South, eternal life. Really? I beg to differ. If that was true, the Bible would say so. Jesus would say, the Pope will save you. That ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said the Pope needs Christ just like everybody else does.
Right. Amen. Amen.
See, folks are scared to hit this stuff because it's politically incorrect. Well, guess what? I'm going to be biblically correct because I know I got to die and stand in front of God. And when something's biblically correct, it's going to be politically incorrect. And I'm not going to answer to nobody when I die and I'm 70, be 72 Saturday, so I know I'm on a downhill slide. I'm not going to stand in front of Jesus and he tell me why you didn't tell them people the truth, because you was afraid of their faces. Ain't nobody got a heaven and hell to put me in. Jesus said, don't fear man who can kill your body and after that has nothing else he can do. But I'll tell you who to fear. Fear him. Who has the power after he kills your body to cast your soul into a living hell? Fear him. And that's why that thing said religious tests meant that fear God. Next. Conclusions. Last slide. America tolerates any or no gods, as long as they are subservient to the constitutional republic as represented by we, the people. The divided power of polytheism, many gods or no gods, is easier to control than monotheistic Christianity that claims that Jesus Christ is king over America. Therefore, King Jesus Christ is a threat to the expansion of any government that considers itself as sovereign and supreme. That is why we're in this mess. And that's why there has not been a national revival in America. Because there are many individual Christians, probably many of you all in here, that have been praying 2 Chronicles 7:14 for revival. And we may have gotten personal revival in our personal lives. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, the Lord says, then I'll hear from heaven, then I'll forgive their sins, and then I'll heal their land. But the problem is, God cannot move on our country to heal America because America's foundation is rotten. We got to go back to the 17th century. We got to go back to the old landmarks. The Bible says if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations of America have been destroyed. And the only way we're going to see national revival is if those of you that are running for office, state legislatures especially, maybe some of you even run for federal, for Congress, or the House, or the Senate. But the issue is, you got to, man, come back to the real foundation of America, when we were truly a Christian nation, not this secular humanist mixed bag of anything goes along. Your truth is your truth, and their truth is their truth, and we're all just going to hug and cush on each other and say we're going to coexist. That does not work, never did, never will. And God will not bless it, because he says he will not share his glory with another. So the good news is this. You guys sitting under your president, Faith and Freedom Coalition, Jesus said in John chapter 8, he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And then you shall know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. We'll get free in America when we go back and undo this mess that we got ourselves in and go back and make King Jesus Lord, Judge, Lawgiver, and King. Well, we don't have King President. The same problem happened in the Bible in 1 Samuel. Them people said, we want a king we can see. Told Samuel. Like everybody else got. We want no invisible king. Samuel went to the Lord, told the Lord what they said. The Lord said, give them what they want, but they're going to suffer. They're not rejecting you, Samuel, Jesus told them. I mean, God the Father. They're rejecting me. We in America are doing the same old, same old. We keep God on our money because it sounds, oh, so help me God. We're no more, just like Jesus says, their hearts are far from me. We claim to love God, but in reality, we in this country collectively, we really love sin. We really love the devil. Because if we really love God, we get this thing right. But the good news is, this coalition, right here, you, if you get this thing and don't buck up against it, because I'm not backing up off it, because I know it's right. Well, get hold of this thing. I got a whole seminar. It takes 2 hours to do the whole seminar. This is just a teaser. We're going deeper and deeper in the darkness in America. And ain't no politician or no political party going to straighten this mess out. Only God can straighten it out. But the good news is God will straighten it out. He told us in his word, I will heal your land if, it's conditional, you humble yourself, Christians. If you pray, Christians. If you seek my face, Christians. If you turn from your wicked ways. Then, it's an if-then proposition. God says, I'll hear from heaven. Then God says, I'll wipe your sins clear. I'll forgive your sins. And then God says, this is the biggie. This is how we restore America. And you guys can be the catalyst. Then I'll heal your land. So, y'all, I'm going to turn it back over to Brenda. Brenda, come on up here. And we can start, we can literally start a revival right through the Faith and Freedom Coalition in New Jersey. I'm excited, Brenda. I am excited, and I think we can do something. But people, you got to stand with her. You got to stand with her. And understand and recognize that the problem we have is not going to get fixed in Washington. It's not going to get fixed in Trenton. It's going to get fixed when we do it God's way. That's the only way it's going to get fixed. Because I'm not a betting man, but I can tell you, I don't care who gets in Trenton. I don't care who gets man in Washington. We just go get more of the same mess, different day, same mess. Because ungodly people cannot and will not make godly laws. It's not in them. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Brenda, do you want to open?